such as the blood sausages. For they will judge you on the basis of the Old Testament law, that you as a Christian should not eat blood. If you answer some Pentecostal Christians that you cannot speak in tongues, beware that they may not consider you as a truly born-again Christian, for they will disqualify you on the basis of Acts chapter 2, that the external evidence of having the Holy Spirit in it is to speak in tongues. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a free and democratic country, and there is a non-discrimination law in place to protect our freedom of choice. The world will tell you, do whatever you like. They will not judge you, and it demands you not correct them in return. Yet, within the broader Christian circle, there are some disagreements within the unity of believing the gospel. But some people consider themselves as superior in their understanding of the Bible. They not only hold certain extreme view on their understanding and the practice, they also judge us wrongly because we do not agree with them. Should we accept their judgment then? Maybe they have some special insights in understanding the Bible. Should we follow their practice? Maybe their practice will lead me more close to God. We are not alone in thinking of those questions. Some believers in Colossae also have these doubts, and Paul warned them not to be judged and not to be disqualified by certain person. Yet, Paul's purpose of these warnings is more than a general reminder. He pointed out this kind of judgment were based on the false teachings. However, Paul didn't exactly spell out what the false teachers were saying, but he has told us and warned us three times that there are false teachers troubling Colossians. Paul's first warning to them was in chapter 2, verse 4. He told them not be deceived by the fine-sounding arguments of the false teachings, which appear to have wisdom and knowledge. He warned them again the second time in chapter 2, verse 8, commanding them not to be captivated by the false teachings, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ, who is a firm foundation for salvation. Today is the third and final warning. Paul goes much further to explore the worthless of the false teachings and why it is fundamentally opposing the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you for giving us these warnings from Paul to teach us. Father God, also pray you speak with me, let me to explain it clearly and give us heart to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul's arguments have three points. The false teaching is a missed reality. The false teaching is deadly. The false teaching is useless and opposes the gospel. Point one, the false teaching missed the reality. The false teaching maybe troubled the Colossian believers in judging them on the basis of Old Testament law, such as the requirements of food regulations, festival rituals, and Sabbath duty. In verse 16, Paul wrote, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day. According to the Old Testament law, actually, if you not follow these regulations, you are not acceptable to God as his people. For example, you will be cut off from God's people if you ate blood. This kind of understanding still plays out in our world today. As I mentioned earlier, some Christians in China were told that the blood is forbidden for them. It is a sin to have food with blood in it. No matter what was God's purpose to forbidden those in the Old Testament law, the Old Testament as a whole pointed us to the coming of Jesus Christ. It would become obsolete with the coming of Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ had already come, and actually he declared that all food is clean to eat. He also made all of us be acceptable to God by believing in him. There's no requirement for us to keep the Old Testament law at all. Jesus' death on the cross was the once for all sacrifice that took away God's judgment on our sinful nature. Here, Paul used the imagery of shadow and reality in contrast to help us understand his point. Verse 17, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Shadow is just the hollow image of the real thing. It is much inferior than the real thing. Jesus and his gospel is much more precious than the Old Testament law. Our great congregations had a lot of newborn babies last year. Before the baby was born, ultrasound is needed for checking up the baby in the mother's womb. I believe all the parents-to-be are happy to see the image of a healthy baby in the ultrasound, and after the ultrasound, they will ask the doctor to give them a copy of the image to keep, like this one. Later, they will show the images to their families and friends from time to time, and they may even put them up on the Facebook to everyone to see. Why? Because this image shows that they will have a healthy baby. At that point in time, this image of ultrasound is so precious to them, and they may even look at it every day and thank God for his gift. Yet, when the healthy baby is finally arrived, when they hold the baby in their arms, the real precious gift of God, which is a healthy baby, I don't think they will have time to look for this image of ultrasound. Rather, they will run and try their best to look after newborn, the real thing. This is the difference between shadow and reality. When the reality comes, the shadow becomes obsolete. The Old Testament law is the shadow. It is obsolete. Jesus and his gospel is the reality. Therefore, we should appreciate the preciousness of the reality rather than chasing the obsolete shadow. However, the false teaching still chased for the shadow and completely missed the reality. Point two, the false teaching is deadly. The false teaching may be also troubled the believers in Colossae on the basis of their superior spirituality in worshipping experience. Paul in verse 18 describes this kind of activity in this way. Do not let anyone who delights in false humanity and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. False humanity may relate to certain kind of harsh treatment to the bodies, in order that the false teacher to receive the superiority in worship. With the experience of seeing visions, with the uplifting worship like the angels will be experienced in the heavenly places. We may still see this kind of uplifting worship today in some Pentecostal churches. They are speaking the angelic tongue, dancing, jumping, and shouting in their worship with a high emotion. They enjoy the experience of worship more than with the word of God. In my opinion, they may not actually worshiping God with a devout heart, but are seeking and worshiping the uplifting spiritual experience alone. On the other hand, Jesus told us that the true worship is both in truth and in spirit. In the truth of the word, because we need to know God, who ought to be worshipped by us with praises. In the spirit of a fully devoted heart, because worship is not just an experience or activity. It needs an attitude of honoring him for life in giving glory and praises to God. Praise him for his goodness through Jesus and the gospel. That's why Paul actually treated this kind of uplifting, experience-seeking worship as the idol notions, which was puffed up by the unspiritual mind. And he used the image of a headless body as a warning to show this teaching is both deceptive and deadly. Verse 19 shows he has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and the sinews, grow as God calls it to grow. A healthy body needs head to head. Without head, the body will surely die. If you cut off the head of fish, like this picture, it may still jump up a bit like first, then it will be laying on the cutting board and dead. Actually, this is a video. You can play it with the fish jumping. The purpose of the worship is to be connected with God, giving glory and praise to him. Yet these false teachers only seek the experiences, totally missed the purpose of worshiping. On the contrary, he actually was disconnected from the head, like the fish, and was cut off from the church without any spiritual growth at all. Jesus is the head of the church, the source of our spiritual growth. We must stay connected with him and worship God with truth and spirit. The fourth teaching misunderstood the meaning of true worship and is deadly in leading people away from Christ. Point three. The fourth teaching is useless and opposing the gospel. Paul also points out that some false teaching are man-made regulations for controlling sinful desires. Some rules may even look good in controlling the sinful desires on the surface, like this one. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which is quoted by Paul as example in verse 21. But according to Paul, they have no value at all. In verse 23, Paul says, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humanity, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Why? Paul says those rules are destined to perish in using them, not practical in actually using them to control sinful desires, because those rules could not deal with the problem of sinful nature. Brothers and sisters, we are all dead in sin, all under the control of its darkness. Only Jesus Christ, who is perfect in every way, the fullness of God in righteousness, able to rescue us from sin and give us the power to put the sinful nature into death. Paul will talk about the right way to kill the sinful nature in chapter 3. It is not by human commands, but by the rightly response of fully understanding the gospel. Therefore, it would be foolish for Colossians to follow those false teaching, since they have no value at all in controlling sinful desires. Following the false teachings is not only a foolish idea, but also the rejection of the gospel. Paul used the irony of two opposite words in verse 20 to show that there is only one right choice in choosing between gospel and the false teaching. According to the original Greek, verse 20 may be better translated as, since you died with Christ to the basic principle of this world, why, as though you still live in the regulation of the world. Friends died and lived, just could not be together. If you are dead, you are no longer a living being. On the other hand, if you still live in the world, you are not dead at all. There's no state of half dead and half living. What is Paul's argument here? Paul is saying that you could not be dead with Christ to the basic principle of the world, yet at the same time still living by this kind of principle in the world. If we knew the Colossians, basically Paul is saying you could not accept Christ's victory over sin and judgment, yet still living according to the basic principle, still yoked under the darkness of sin and judgment. Following this false teaching is actually a rejection to the gospel, to deny that Jesus had already rescued you from the darkness of the world. Jesus is the only way for us to be right with God. Actually, these three phases of the false teachings could be related together in achieving the righteousness by way other than what we have in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, no matter what the false teaching you teach, is following the Old Testament law for acceptance, or achieving the spirituality through worshiping experience, or obeying the regulation to control the sinful desires, they would all be considered as holy, religious, and righteous in the eyes of the world. Yet, in reality, they misunderstood Jesus and his work. They disconnected with them, with Christ, and opposed the gospel of Jesus' saving works. They did not realize that we could not achieve salvation and holiness by our own efforts at all. Sadly, today, more and more false teachings are growing out of self-righteousness. For example, I heard that some Pentecostal leaders wrote a book about the spiritual blessings of only eating vegetables. This false teacher is seeking the acceptance of God for superior spiritual blessings or experiences. This is another misunderstanding of the gospel. He dreams those self-efforts as a way for righteous and superiority, but forget to accept that all the richness of God is already given to us by Christ. Brothers and sisters, if someone judges you by their superiority in understanding the Bible, or say to you that you are missing out some spiritual blessings, or tell you to add something onto Jesus' gospel, or claim there's another way to be saved, another way to be righteous with God, don't be troubled by them. Don't believe in them. Don't follow their way. Remember, this kind of false teachings is about something that is already obsolete. It is deadly. It is useless and opposes the gospel. Rather, take the heart that you are acceptable to God, that you are connected with Christ, the head of the church. Remember, Jesus is the reality, the source of all spiritual growth. Remember, the gospel gives you all freedom and richness in Christ. Let's continue to stand firm on this foundation of faith, continue to be rooted in Christ, built up in him, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you for the precious gift of Jesus to remove our sin and let us be right with you, that we do not need to follow these false teachings and rely on our own self-effort to be acceptable to you, that we in Jesus, the head, have all the source of spiritual growth. Please continue to teach us how to be connected with Jesus, rooted in Him, how to worship You in truth and in spirit to bring the glory and praise to You. Please grant us the peace when we are troubled by false teachings. Protect us and lead us in trusting Jesus and stand firm on this foundation alone. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.